that. So I prayed for her. I didn't want her to have a breakdown on her voice again. Amen. John chapter 21. John 21. Well, get my specs out so I can read. Verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Heavenly Father, thank you for our fellowship this morning and each one that's here and the singing and everything that's been done so far. And Lord, we pray now for your preaching as it goes forth. I pray use me to preach your word, Lord, what you've laid on my heart this morning. I pray each heart and ear here will be attentive to your word today. And I just ask you to move. You know every need, Lord. If there's one lost among us, I pray for their salvation today before it is eternally too late. We thank you that you're still in the saving business. Lord, as long as we can hear your voice, Lord, as long as you speak to us, call us, Lord, we can be saved. And we're thankful for that. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Everyday Jesus. Everyday Jesus. You know, I remember when I was a kid and we started to learn about Jesus, and we probably still do this today. We would, we would teach the stories, the familiar stories, the big stories. You know, of course, around Christmas time, we talk about the miraculous birth and the wise men and all that went on that involved around Christmas, and then Easter. You know, we heard that the death, the burial, the resurrection. There's your gospel message. We studied that, and then a few weeks ago, I think I preached on Jonah Jonah and the whale. We know about that, and the feeding of the 5,000. Those are the big stories about Jesus, even healing the blind, the lame, the lepers. You know, we go through all those things. Even here in our text today, a lot of people look at this and think, well, the big deal is that Jesus knew where the fish were. You know, these guys were professional fishermen. They toiled all night, hadn't caught anything. Apparently, they weren't any good at it, but they threw the net. Jesus said, put the net on the other side, and it was full of fish. And we said, wow, man, this is the great thing. So we know about all these big event, common storms. I mean, several times that Jesus had power over the storms. He had power over the fish. He had, power over wind and, everything. But 90% of Jesus' life was lived in an ordinary way. 90% of his life. I mean, he had his whole, from his childhood up, Joseph was a carpenter, and Jesus worked as a carpenter in the way the children would do with his father. Didn't start his ministry, he was up 30 years old. So most of that we know about the marriage feast. He did do something there when he was younger, but there was a lot of years in between that we don't know anything that he was doing. And even as he started his ministry, I mean, listen, he walked around everywhere he went just like everybody else did. He sweat like everybody else. He thirsted like everybody else. He had to eat like everybody else. He was God in the flesh. He was human. He was a human person. He had to eat, sleep, rest, converse with people. You know, it was just average. It was an everyday thing that you had to do. His life was ordinary. And all the ordinary acts of life. And there's a lot of lessons that we can, you know, when we look at this text, like I said, he was showing the disciples, one, that without him, they could do nothing. Some people think, oh, well, they were wrong. This was after the resurrection now, and Peter and all them had seen all that. And of course, we know coming up after that, Peter gets restored back to the ministry because he told the Lord that he wouldn't deny him, forsake him, go to death with him. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times, because Jesus knew how weak the flesh was and Peter didn't. And he had to learn that. We know all that. That's a good story too. But without him, they couldn't. Some people say, well, they were wrong. They shouldn't have went fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. You know, Jesus is going to make them fishers of men, but he hadn't really commissioned them personally to do it yet. Nothing wrong. I don't think they were really wrong. They had to do something. Jesus hadn't told them what to do. That's what they normally did. And that's how most of them made their living. They went fishing. But I think that, you know, it showed his omnipotence, maybe even his omnipresence. Of course, he had just showed up over there, but it showed his omnipotence for sure is powerful. But I believe, though, that one of the main lessons that I can see here, and I think it's one that we need to know, is to move our minds away from like spectacular things. You got to hold on, man. I'm OCD as all get out. There's a piece of paper laying here on the floor, and I cannot preach with that there. It just drives me nuts. My mom did that to me. All right. I'm good. That white thing is laying there. It's getting my mind mixed up. My mind's bad enough as it is. But, you know, we get to expecting, well, you know what? If I have an encounter with Jesus, it's going to be like this earth-shaking lightning bolt. Like if something don't happen in here, like the wall crack, split, you know, we'll think, well, Jesus didn't show up. And I think Jesus is trying to get those disciples. They'd seen him do all the healings and the calming of the storm, and they'd fished one other time and didn't do so hot, and he helped them out in that deal. All those other things that he did, he's trying to show them, listen, you got to learn to see Jesus in the everyday events of life. This is what we've got to get to. We can't wait for something. Well, what happened? Well, nothing. Well, I mean, listen, it's, you know what? They got away from the miracles, because actually the miracles didn't work. Jesus did a whole bunch of things, and a crowd of people quit following him and just left. They were awed by the spectacular things, but that really isn't how our relationship is going to be with Jesus. We're not going to have a lightning bolt every time, or a flash of light, earth shake. I've prayed like they did in Acts. Boy, they prayed one time, they all got to a meeting and prayed that God would give them boldness to preach the word of God when some of them had already been arrested and beaten for doing it and told not to do it. And they went back and prayed for boldness, and it said that God shook the building. I prayed, boy, right in the middle of preaching, right, that God would give it a little jolt. Not knock nothing down, but I mean, you know, give it a jolt. Boy, I bet your altar call would be filled up, huh? That would be a good, well, why wait for that? Why wait for that? It may not happen that way, but God can put a jolt in your heart that nobody else can see. And you can see it. See, when I pray before a service, even here or at home before me, I pray that there's an awareness of the presence of God. See, I know God is here. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there I am in the midst. Amen. But there's people that don't know that. I want an awareness. But it's in the everyday thing. And that's where this message is going. I don't know how this is going to preach. It's not very long. We got 2 points. You can say amen to that right there, right? Huh? You'll get to the Cracker Barrel before the Methodists get out down there, maybe, but you know, but it's I don't know how it'll work, but this is what God wanted me to preach on, so this is what you get, right? So I believe that what he was trying to get us to see was the everyday Jesus, because the relationship that Jesus wants with us is not in some big or special occasion, some event. It's just everyday life. That's the relationship that he wants to have. So the question, I always like to have a question for you because I want you to answer it in your head. Where does Jesus fit into your life? Where does he fit into your life? Could be a spaced out fit. Just, I don't know. You know, you have to answer the question right there. Where does he fit into your life? And if he only fits into your life, little play on words here with our theme, you're still missing the boat. If he only fits into your life, you're missing the boat. He wants to be your life. When he is your life and not just fitting into your life, nah, you're on track. But for too many people, he just fits in. He wants to be it. So a couple points. I think hopefully it'll help you, or something I'll say, or God says through me will help you today. Verse 14, in the last verse of the text that I read, it said, now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So the first time was when the disciples were meeting on the first day of the week, Sunday, by the way. They were meeting on the first day of the week, was what we call church. The second time, it was 8 days later, it was when they were meeting about probably in the same place. And Thomas wasn't there the first time. And the second time, you know, the text is Thomas was present. And he, you know, because he said he wasn't going to believe unless he could poke his finger in his side and the print of the nails. And Jesus, you know, got a sense of humor, I think. And, you know, he said, hey, Thomas, go ahead. Yeah. Huh? Thomas said, my Lord and my God, what a confession. Man, he knew that was him. Now, if you don't believe in the deity of Christ, what are you going to do with that verse? My Lord and my God, Jesus. That's God. He's God. Okay, so they met there. This might have been expected, right? And then the third time is they're fishing on the bank. Now, see, this is what I see. And I see things a lot different than a lot of people do. But anyway, that's just the way it is. You know, God made me that way. Now, the first two times might have been an expected time. Like if we come to church, to a church service, well, if God's going to show up anywhere, we would expect that we're going to hear from God today. Amen. I'm hoping that you're going to hear from God today. I'm hoping that the word is going to, you know, I can't do it. God does it. It's God's word, that it goes to your heart. That's my expect, you know, that's what I would hope. So we would say, okay, hey, we're going to church. Let's get our Bible. We go to church. We're expecting to hear from God today. Expecting. And that's how it usually goes. You know, a meeting of followers, an organized event. And, you know, and I think that a lot of Christians and you know, do that. And this is the point number one. It's we've compartmentalized Jesus to places, events, things. It's segmented. It's not every day, or if it's not all day, every day with Jesus. See, we've got it where we expect it to happen. And so This is the third time, and like I said, and that may be when you expect it. Maybe you don't consciously do this. Maybe you don't say, well, you know what, I'm just compartmentalized. But we've got our faith compartmentalized in a certain way. It may be, say, well, you know, like I said, church, sure. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Maybe Wednesday night. If you come on Wednesday night, okay, I'm expecting Jesus. Maybe even at smaller brackets, like, well, when I read my Bible in the morning, I expect, you know, I'm expecting to hear from God. Maybe when I pray, you know, when I'm having prayer, or maybe even reading a Christian book. Maybe you read some other Christian literature besides the Bible. Bible reading, of course, would include. And what we ended up doing mentally without saying it is we're punching in and punching out. We're clocking in and clocking out with our Christian experience. I preached a message one time some years ago at Bible camp. We had Bible camp, and you never know what you're going to say that somebody's really going to cling on to. But this was just a minor thing in the middle of preaching. I don't even know if I had a note on it. It just came out. But I said, you know, a lot of Christians, what they do, they clock in when they come to church and they clock out when they leave. This is their relationship. All the relationship that some people have is sitting in church on Sunday morning. That's it. When they go home, they've done clocked out when they go out the door. I thought about getting an old time clock somewhere. Paul, if you ever see one of them at the flea market, get me one, would you? We'll put it over there by the clock. Have your name on it. Cha-ching. But I mean, it's true. And I preached on this at Bible camp one time. Man, we gave the invitation, and it was a bunch of teens there. Teen boys now, a lot of teen boys. They all filled up the place. Man, they was down at the altar. And Pastor Mike Vest's son, Aaron, he said, Dad, that's exactly what I was doing. I didn't know, you know, like I say, it wasn't a main point. You never know. He said, that's what I was doing. I was clocking out when I left church, you know, and all of a sudden now I'm just me, and it's not Christ living in me, you know. Man, that's what all them kids said. A bunch of them all got together. They was out of the same youth group. They said, yeah, man, that's what we're doing. Man, you don't know it. I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people have compartmentalized it to just these special events that we do. And what Jesus is trying to do is he wants more of a relationship with us than that confined to a segment or an event like it's confined to church and it's confined to prayer and it's just confined to Bible reading and it's just confined to prayer time. No, all the time. Man, those guys walked with Jesus down dusty roads, going places. Man, they went with Jesus all over the place. They were with them all the time. Those disciples, when Jesus said, follow me, follow me, follow me, man, Matthew quit being a tax collector. Hey, thank God for that, right? I mean, and maybe we got to get them tax people saved, man. But he quit being a tax collector. And you know, some more fishermen, they quit fishing for a while. When they just followed Jesus wherever he went. And he met their every need. But, you know, this was everyday Jesus. Listen, Jesus showed up, moved from seeing him in the spectacular and in the emergencies to seeing Christ in the everyday routine of life. That's what he wants us. That's when our relationship is growing. That's when our relationship is building. You know, one day this woman went to go get water at a well. It's something she probably did every day. Probably every day. Maybe they didn't do it on the Sabbath. But they went every day, pretty much every day, to get water to well. She wasn't expecting to meet Jesus that day. But Jesus showed up. He just showed up, started talking to her. And you know the story talked about, and she said, well, you know, Abraham, and he took her around and he showed her that she was a son. How many husbands have you had? Oh, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. Now you've had five, and the one you're with now is not yours, right? Had some been married so many times, she had rice marks all over her face. No, I'm just kidding. But he just met her in an everyday thing. She hadn't gone to church. She hadn't gone to synagogue or worship Jewish way. She wasn't a special event. She wasn't reading the Bible, of course, and she wasn't apparently she wasn't in prayer. She's just going to get water. There's Jesus. Same with you and me. Jesus, man, he's already there. If you're saved, listen, he's dwelling in you in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Like I say all the time, I don't pray to God would look up there like God's way up there. I don't even look at him like he's right here. He's right here. When I talk to God, he's in me. I moved from having him here to here. You know, I thought that mentally out, that he's there, and I think you need to do that. Man, listen, he ate meals with people. Just Emmaus Road disciples that day, they were just going away from leaving Jerusalem, going back to Emmaus after on the resurrection Sunday. He showed up. Man, and what did they do? They talked to him, talked with him. Wasn't sure who it was. He even showed up when there was a woman caught in sin. He showed up, talked to the people around her, talked to her, right?
showed up, man, every day. Because listen, every day is not Sunday. If all your relationship is this, I can't help you. Then I can't do a thing for you. I mean, you're not going to get enough out of me, out of this, to last all week long. What kind of relationship would you had if you only saw your spouse once a week? In some cases, it may be better, but I don't know anybody in specific. I'm just kidding around. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, and if you only talked to somebody once a week, if you know, you wouldn't, that wouldn't be much of a relationship, would it? Huh? You'd have a better relationship with your boss, where you worked at, than you would. What about with the Lord? See, if this is all you got, every day is not holiday. Every day is not Christmas. You know, the CEO Christians, Christmas and Easter only, that's their relationship with God. They come to, thank God they come. Listen, man, come on. Whenever you can come. But I'm trying to move you past that to having an everyday experience with Christ. And so every day we don't need to be rescued. Thank the Lord for this. Every day is not a 911 call to God. Although it seems like those days are getting close, there's more of them. Because every time you turn around, it's something that's going on. And so, you know, we don't need that. Jesus wants more of a relationship with you than that. One of the problems is we've separated life into segments, two segments at least, secular and sacred. It's like we think that certain things are just secular things, going to work, mowing the grass, going to grocery store. And then there's sacred things, going to church. Listen, with God, there's no separation. Everything is sacred. This is a day the Lord hath made. This is a day that the Lord hath made. He got you up today, got your breath. You've got breath because God gave it to you. This is a day, man. This is a day for us, and it's a day God had made, and we got a purpose, right? The Christians, you know it. Glorify God. That's our sole purpose, and you're never going to be happy in life until you understand. If whether you're saved or not, this is still your purpose. You've just not gotten saved and fulfilling that purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. And to be used by God to lead other people to God. And you can try everything under the sun, like old Solomon did. You can read what Solomon did and find out he tried everything under the sun. He said everything else is vanity. But you better follow God. And when we do that, when we get to that point, then we're going to be satisfied. Now, this is it. We're going to that empty spot inside. We have to have this relationship with God. That's what he wants. And even if we're saved and we have we might have a compartmentalized relationship with Christ, you're still not satisfied. It's like potato chips, man. You can't eat just one. Remember that old commercial? You just can't have a one chip, you know? Old Sinbad the comedian, he was talking about losing weight. He said he looked at Nutrisystem. They send a whole box of food, and this was a whole box. He said, "What's this, one meal?" They said, "No, this is the food for all week." And he said, "If you get hungry in between meals, they have these things called Nutri-Chips, and it's a bag." He said, "If you get hungry between meals," said, "eat a chip." A chip. He said, "If I could do that, I wouldn't need Nutrisystem." You know, who's going to eat one chip, right? You're not, but it's like we can't be satisfied. You know, we can't get satisfied. And you'll never get satisfied until you have the right relationship with Christ. And that's an everyday relationship with Christ. And so, most of what Jesus did wasn't in big events. It was just everyday, day-to-day routine. That's when we're going to see Jesus. Now, the second point, the constant Christ. We've got the compartmentalized Christ. Here's where we want to get to, the constant Christ. So Jesus is teaching these guys. This is after he resurrected. And I know that it's probably deeper. Some of this is deeper than that. But I think this is pretty deep too. Just teaching them that You know, in the everyday thing, you're going to have me. You can have me. We see the humanity in Jesus. Jesus asked him this question. They're out there fishing. Have you any meat? They use the word meat. What he was saying, let me give you it in redneck lingo. Catch anything? Now think about this. Isn't that what we always say? I mean, when you see somebody fishing, even if you don't know them, if you know them, you're certainly going to ask them. You see somebody sitting on the bank with a fishing pole. Well, they weren't fishing that way. They had a net. But catch anything? Probably every single one of us, if we're very talkative, that's what we're going to say. Just think about that. The next time you ask somebody that, you can say, well, this is Bible. I'm quoting Bible here, man. This is Bible. If you catch anything, Jesus asked him. Common question. We got it right out of the Word of God. Now we know where it came from. But we see that, and Jesus had prepared a breakfast on the shore. Fish on coals of fire on the beach. What did he figured they'd been fishing all night. Do you think they're hungry? They didn't have any fish to add to the meal, right? He's going to have to provide. But, you know, it was just, what's breakfast? Everyday event for most people. Get up and have breakfast. Can you see Jesus in that? Yeah, huh? It's not a spectacular event. You know, I mean, Pop-Tart, you know, it's not Pop-Tart or a sausage biscuit, you know, frozen one that you throw in the microwave. It's not a spectacular thing, but it was breakfast. He knew they needed it. He had it prepared for them. Oh, there's a deeper, it shows that he provides. Yeah, it does. But he's providing in what? Not a 911 call, not a crisis, not a raising from the dead or a healing of leprosy. He just showed up because they're hungry and they needed, would like something to eat. Would they have lived if he hadn't fed? Yeah, they would have lived. Was it great? Yeah, it was great. You know, it was good. Every day, it's just a common thing, the everyday thing. And he just wants that's the relationship. He was there when they were fishing. He was there for breakfast. It was the experience that he wants to have in our life. Every day, day by day. We don't leave him and come back and leave him and come back. He's there, constant. Man, we can talk to Jesus all the time. This is what we ought to do. Listen. Pentecost hadn't got here yet, but it was coming. Not very many days. Pentecost was coming, and the Holy Spirit was going to be given. And then the Holy Spirit was going to indwell all the believers. And now when we're saved, if we have not the Spirit of His, we're none of His. And I mean, now when you get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. We've got God Himself living inside of us. Imagine that. That's a profound thought. That God of the universe, Almighty God, is dwelling inside of us if we're saved. Man, he's there all the time. Amen. We can quench him. We can grieve him. We can ignore him, which quenches him and grieves him. We can, you know, but he's there and he speaks to our heart. If we're saved, we're there. He telling you right now whether you're saved or lost. Amen. Does God ever make you doubt? No. God never makes you doubt. And I said, Satan never makes you doubt either. Why would Satan make a lost person doubt if they're already lost? You got any doubt, you're really lost. If you got any doubt, that's God speaking to you. Satan wouldn't tell you. And if you're saved, God's not going to make you doubt. And Satan won't either. That's your own conscience, right? But we've got God dwelling in us. It's a daily thing. The word daily appears 16 times in the New Testament. Daily. 16 times in the New Testament. Matthew 6:11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I'll tell you what, most people around that I know don't miss too many meals. They just don't. But he's not talking about that daily bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He's talking about our daily bread. Listen, if we only fed on food the way we feed on Christ, we'd all look like POWs. Huh? Every bone poking out every which way. Some of us would be dead. We're feeding on Christ. This is give us this day our daily bread. We got to need him every day. Everyday Jesus, everyday relationship with Christ, every minute. I mean, it's like you keep breaking down. It's not once a week, it's every day. It's every hour, it's every minute, it's every second, a relationship with Christ. That's it. Oh, well, you know, am I constantly going to be thinking about it? No, because you're probably going to have some responsibilities, but you can enter. Listen, that brain can do a lot more than you think it can. This is the fastest computer in the world right here. It's faster than any computer that's ever been made. This is it. Because those came from this. And so our brain can process more than you think. Listen, you can wrap Jesus up in every single thing you do. And that's the relationship that he wants. Our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take his cross up daily. Why is that? Because the old flesh wants to rule and reign every day. That's why you need Jesus every day. You got to have a relationship with Christ. What I like about it, when Jesus shows up, the demons flee. When he showed up at the maniac of Gadara, the demons came out and to Jesus said, what does that have to do with us? It's not the time. I'm kind of just paraphrasing that a little bit. It's not time. And they said, well, don't cast us out nowhere. Cast us into them swine. But he showed up. The demons went out. This is what happened. That's why you need an everyday relationship with Christ, because the flesh, you still got the flesh, huh? Take up the cross every day, every day. And you can only do it. The flesh doesn't want to do it. You can only do it with Christ. And follow Jesus. Acts 2:46, it says the disciples continued daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Listen, they were having worship every day. Every day, church. It was at the temple, but they were Christian Jews, and they still went to the temple because they hadn't got church established physically yet. Every day. And it says that they were going from house to house and breaking bread from house to house and did and eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What do you think they were talking about? They were talking about their relationship with Christ. That's what they talked about. They weren't talking about a bunch of nonsense, man. They were talking about, man, you ain't gonna believe what God did, what God was doing, or how God spoke to me. My wife and I will sit down sometime. This is great. The other day, as we were doing this, I was aware that we were doing it. I mean, it wasn't like a planned thing, but I was aware. We were sitting there talking, and I started talking about some texts in the Bible, and she started saying, yeah, you know, the other day. And it's amazing how many times that God will be talking to her about the same thing when we're doing our separate reading. And we were sitting there. She was up at the counter, and I was sitting down at the dining room table having our coffee, and we were just talking about what God's doing. Man, that's what they did. That's a relationship. That's a daily relationship. And then you share that with other Christians. That's why you need to get around a bunch of Christians instead of a bunch of clabber heads that are out there in the world, because they don't understand what you're talking about and they don't want to talk about it. But they talked about the Lord, what God was doing in their life. Boy, what an encouragement that is. But they did it every day. That's an encouragement. Verse 47, it said that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why did the Lord add to the church daily? Because they met daily. They prayed daily. They talked about the Lord daily. The Lord was their life every minute of the day, and everybody else out there in the world could see it. And they say, something different about that person. And whatever it is they got, I want that. You ever met anybody like that? Whatever it is they got, they met every single day. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says the inward man is renewed day by day. We need renewing day by day. This whole world can beat you down. Man, this world will get you down if you don't stay with Jesus. Man, I need to get in the Word. I need to know that the Lord's working and He's moving things and He's working in my soul. We're renewed every day. You're not going to get enough here today to get you through the week. You got to have a relationship every day. Every hour, every second, huh? That's it, man. It's not going to be enough to get you through. You got to have your own relationship. I can't have it for you. I can't. And if this is all you have, you don't have a relationship with Christ. If all your relationship consists about it is coming to church, you got nothing. Nothing. You better get that Bible out, and you better get on your knees, and you better talk to the Lord, and you better read the Word, and you got to be. That's how you're going to be transformed by the power of God. Jesus, He wants to tear down all the division between the secular and the sacred. He wants that. He wants to remove the compartments that we've put Christ and our faith in. He wants to take those things away. He wants us to shift our focus away from a distant historical figure or some kind of abstract concept that we have, but a daily, personal, real relationship with Christ. That's what he wants. He's real. He's real. And it's not adding more religious task to your schedule. That's not what he's asking about. Oh, well, I got to do more of this. No, he's not. He's not asking you to do that. It's just about transforming your perspective to experience his presence in every moment of every day. And you can. You can. And this last little thing I'm done here is the last little food for thought. They fished all night and they didn't catch nothing. Amen. They should have taken Jesus fishing with them. Amen. Huh? Huh? Boy, you can wrap this lesson up right here in this. If they had taken Jesus fishing with them, they'd have been done hours ago. Huh? That's taking Jesus with you in every little thing in life, everything they do. And everything that we do, having Jesus with you. And that'll make your life a success, too. I don't know that that's necessarily God's goal. But I know that he wants us to be successful in glorifying him and successful in being a witness for him. It's all about him and not about us. Amen? All right, let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the liberty to preach today. And it's my prayer that these words, we take them there, We dwell on them, we think about them, we mull them over about, you know, what kind of a relationship do we have with you, Lord, and could it be better? And help us to desire that, seek that, and speak to hearts. Like, again, we have our invitation. If there's somebody says, you know, I don't really think I'm saved, why not get it matter settled today? Come forward, come down the aisle, give your heart to Jesus today. Call on him, forgive you of your sins, and get matters settled between you and God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.